Habakkuk 3, 17 to 19 says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labour of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Hey, that was back in those days. If you didn't have all that, you're going to starve, my friends. Amen. We don't think about that, eh? We just run down to Coles, the deli, Coles deli, and get all our food. Verse 18 says, hey, even though all those things have happened, he says, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this scripture from the book of Habakkuk. And sounds like really bad time, Lord. But we thank you that even though Habakkuk found himself in a very perilous situation, Lord, with no food, and he was even able to continue, Lord, to serve you and to bless you and to worship you and to say that he would joy in the God of his salvation no matter what happened. And we pray, Lord, tonight as we think about this verse, these verses of scripture, that you'll encourage us, Lord, as we live in this particular time of history, that your word would help us, Lord, to stand and have joy in our hearts as we do it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, in last week's devotional, we spoke about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who, even though they were threatened by King Nebuchadnezzar with violent death in the fiery furnace if they failed to obey his laws, nevertheless, they informed him that they would not bow down and worship before the king's golden image. All right? That's the government. The government was telling the churches, you've got to bow down and worship our God, all right? They wouldn't do it. They feared their God more than they feared Nebuchadnezzar and his golden idol God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were grounded in the word of God from an early age and were well aware that to obey Nebuchadnezzar's decrees and regulations would mean that they would have to disobey what they'd been taught from the scriptures from a very early age. They knew the requirements of God, and they also knew the consequences of disobeying those requirements. What were God's requirements for that they were aware of? Let's find out. Turn to Exodus, please, chapter 34, and we'll find out what they'd been taught and what they were not to do, and they knew that if they did these things that God said not to do, they would be in trouble. Exodus 34, verses 12 to 17. Here we read of the laws that the Lord instructed to Moses on Mount Sinai, and which he taught to the people. Laws which were to be the statutes to them forever. All right? And we should take notice, this is speaking to us tonight. Beginning in verse 12 we read, he said, God was speaking to Moses, take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest, lest it be a snare in the midst of thee. But ye shall destroy their altars, break their images. Now remember what Nebuchadnezzar was telling them, I want you to bow down to my image, you see. God says, but ye shall destroy their altars, break down their images, and cut down their groves. For thou shalt worship no other God. For the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. Hey, God is a jealous God. He bought us with a price. The price was the death of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? He bought us with a price. And he's jealous to keep us like he was with the Jews. And verse 15, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a-whoring after their gods, and do sacrifice unto their gods, and one call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice. Oh, come and have a meal with me, all right? And you go and eat with him. And thou take of their daughters for thy sons, and their daughters go a-whoring after their gods, and make thy sons go a-whoring after their gods. Thou shalt make thee no molten gods. Hey. Thou shalt make thee no molten gods. You see all these molten images in some churches? God forbids it. Oh, that's in the Old Testament. Yeah? Same God. Same God. Anyhow, the exact things that God had instructed his chosen people not to do were the very things that Nebuchadnezzar was instructing the young Jewish lads to disobey. Nebuchadnezzar saying, you obey me now, don't obey your God. God's command to them in verse 14 was, thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. In verse 13, God had instructed his people, ye shall destroy their altars, break their images and cut down their groves. In verse 17, God commanded, thou shalt make no molten gods. Consequently, when Nebuchadnezzar threatened that he would toss them all into a fiery furnace if they disobeyed him, they boldly told the king in Daniel 3, verses 17 to 18, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy God, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. We're not going to do it. We can't do it because our God told us not to. We can't obey your God. Similar to the situation that Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego found themselves in, hey, this sort of thing's coming down the track to us where we're going to have to obey the government or be in big trouble, all right? They probably won't chuck us in a fiery furnace, but they'll do other things to people who want to stand strong for the Lord. Similar to the situation that Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego found themselves in and their determination to stand fast and obey the Lord, despite the wickedness that surrounded them in the society they lived in, the book of Habakkuk also contains many important prophetic truths, as well as several practical examples from the life of God's faithful prophet. They can also be helped to faithful Christians today who recognize the importance of obediently walking by faith rather than by sight. You're still in Habakkuk 8. In Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 2 to 4, the prophet's words reveal how easy it is to conclude that God hasn't even heard our prayers when an answer isn't immediately forthcoming. Here we read in verse 2 to 4 of Habakkuk chapter 1, O Lord, this is Habakkuk, he's crying out, O Lord, how long shall I cry? And thou shalt not hear, even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou shalt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Now, if you read that in plain English, it's similar to our day. Our day is very similar to the day that Habakkuk was talking about there. Wickedness and those who openly practice it surround us on all sides. And it seems that justice for the victims of society's evils doesn't even exist. Hey, the guilty get away scot-free, and the innocent, they come off worse. They come off second best. Amen? Isaiah 59, 14 and 15 perfectly describes where our modern society is heading today. Isaiah 59 verses 14 and 15 says, and judgment is turned away backwards. Isaiah lamented, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth. And he that departeth from evil, listen, he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. Be careful. Don't just go out being stupid and look for trouble, but it's going to come anyway. It says there, truth faileth. Truth faileth. We're getting told things today that are supposed to be truth and they're lies. All right? Truth faileth. And he that departeth from evil, like us Christians, maketh himself a prey. But hey, the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. The Lord saw it, and it displeased him. Does God know what is happening in our world today, or does he even care? Why does he postpone his judgment upon the wicked and delay his promotion and the elevation of the righteous above the perpetrators of evil? Even Habakkuk could not find a satisfactory explanation for these apparent contradictions. And in verse 2, he sought God for an answer. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? However, we just read in verse 15 of Isaiah 59, and the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. The answer as to why God seemed to be uninterested in dealing with the sinful ways of the wicked is revealed in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 3. We're explained to Habakkuk, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak, and shall not lie, though it tarry, though it's not coming, all right, it's tarrying. Wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry, And so God caused the prophet to understand that there was a purpose for the delay in God's judgment, as we see today. Amen? Why doesn't God just blast them all? If I was God, I'd fix up that mob, I tell you. This homosexual lobby, teaching the little kids, the little tiny kids in school, kindergarten, about homosexual. You know, it wasn't that long ago that you never heard the word sex. It was never mentioned. Now it's everywhere. Everyone's talking about it. It was a thing that was embarrassing. You know, we never talked about these sort of things, especially in church. Wow. But out in the community, there was no talk about anything to do with anybody's sexuality or what people did. But now it's everywhere, right? It's all on the TV, and the little kids are being taught it in school. Horrendous stuff going on in California. California. I tell you, if I was God, that earthquake they're all waiting for would have happened long ago. That's horrendous what's going on. Absolutely horrendous. Anyhow, the Lord had not forgotten, nor would he permit the wicked to go unpunished forever. But a waiting period needed to precede the divinely appointed time for God's intervention. The vision was yet for an appointed time. But at the end of it, it would speak and not lie, God said. The Lord made it clear to Habakkuk that what seemed to him like God was reluctant to deal with the wicked, as though he was going to let them get off scot-free from any penalty for their evil doing, God advised Habakkuk that it should not be taken as an indication of a lack of his concern, or even a failure on his behalf to answer Habakkuk's prayer. Every Christian needs to remember that while waiting is sometimes unpleasant and even frustrating, nevertheless, it can provide a season of time that God can use to build, test, strengthen, and refine the faith of those who are willing to wait and walk obediently with him. I reckon that's what God's doing here. He's testing us and strengthening us, right? And getting us to walk with him and trust him. I have seen, since Pastor James left, people who weren't doing that are today. We're going to stand for God whether we've got a pastor or not. Amen? We're going to walk with God. And we're going to defend each other to the end. Amen? So that determination came after Pastor James left. People left, I know. People did leave. And some people left because of, you know, they had genuine reasons too. But some left because they just needed to go, you know. They couldn't stand up with having to stand strong on our own two feet and depend on God. And God is refining us and building our faith in him instead of on, oh, we need a pastor. We haven't got anyone to ring when we're in trouble. Well, you can talk to God. Do we trust God or don't we? That's the thing. So God is strengthening us and helping us to depend on him and have faith in him. Hebrews 10:35 and 39 encourages us as we wait for God to respond to our prayers. Cast not away therefore your confidence, he says, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, right? And after that ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Why don't you turn there, Hebrews chapter 10, and we'll read that one together. And I think it'll be our closing scripture. Hebrews chapter 10. Listen what we got to do, all right, in the situation we're in. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 35 to 39. It encourages us as we wait for God to respond to our prayers. He says in verse 35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after ye have done, listen, after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. After ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come. He will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Amen? Hang in there, and the reward will come. So God says. Do we believe God? Hey, I'm going to believe God. I'm going to believe God. The scriptures, you know, I said to Colleen, last night we were praying and I'm saying, you know, we say, Lord, thank you for blessing us, eh? Thank you for blessing our life. And we can get to the place of thinking, well, how are we being blessed? Well, I tell you what, I'd like to see you people if you never met God. I'd just like to see what your lives would be like. I'd just like to have a glimpse of what your lives would have been like had you not met God. And had he not blessed you, right, with the life you've got today. You look out in the society, there's marriages. Let's talk about marriages. People hate each other. I'm going into the shopping centre the other morning, and here's a bloke walking. You can see he's angry about something, and there's a woman coming about 50 yards behind him with a couple of little kids dragging along, swearing and carrying on at him. That's a relationship that's full of love, joy and peace, eh? Amen? You know? What is the... Hey, God says that the Christian life is righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. God gives us righteousness in Christ, but he gives us joy and he gives us peace. I haven't got anyone knocking at my door because I owe them $1 million, you know? I've got no debt. I said to a bloke on the Esplanade walking along the other day and he mocked me. He was an accountant, same age as me, went to the same school back in the olden days and talking about things. And I said, well, you know, I haven't got any debt. What are you talking about? I said, well, I don't own my own house. I pay rent, but I get a pension to pay for it. I've got no debt. My life's got no debt at all. I've got no debt with anyone. Oh, I've got my MasterCard. My MasterCard. It's got, I owe about $600 on it. You know? That's my whole debt. That's because God's blessed me. I don't smoke and drink. You see? I don't have to buy all that stuff. So God blesses us. So don't get to this thing where you've got to think about it. Well, how does God bless us? Well, let's think about how our lives would have been had we not met God. Hey, you kids, your mum and dad could have been so much different. And a real horror to live with, I can tell you. I lived with my parents. It was horrendous. It was terror, living in my house when I was a little kid. So you can think about... You don't think about that because you haven't got it, you see. But I know what that's like. Wow, living in a heathen home. God has blessed us. God has blessed us. Even if we've got no money, he's still blessed us. We've got a life of joy and peace. Peace. Amen. So, the scriptures we've read tonight and the events of long ago that we've been reminded of are an illustration of the confidence that God's word can inspire in those who faithfully serve him. Even when our lives are confronted with adverse circumstances, we can still rejoice and be glad because we have chosen to stand fast on the scriptures. As we walk obediently in the light of the word of God, we can be confident that our faith is not just vain wishful thinking. That maybe God will answer our prayers sometime, or like Habakkuk thought, maybe he won't. Our faith is not based upon anything marvellous about ourselves, but rather we can be confident that it is firmly anchored in all God's marvellous promise in his word. The scripture we've just read in verse 36 of Hebrew 10 instructs us and encourages us, "For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise." Amen? After you've done the will of God. There's the qualifying thing. "For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise." Hey, you know what? Even if this whole planet blows to pieces, what's going to happen to us? The presence of the Lord. Amen? I've got peace with that. I've got peace with that. People we talk to got sickness and fear of death. They haven't got that peace, you see. God gives us that peace too. Don't be scared of death. We're going somewhere that lasts forever. Amen? Let's pray and close the service. Thank you, Lord, for this encouragement from your word, Lord.